Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is closing up this book in this last chapter. I don't know how many times he said finally as he was closing through this book. I need to go back and look at that. I know he said finally in verse or chapter 3. I know he said finally in verse 8 of this chapter. It seems like he said it somewhere else. And so Paul had the same problem a lot of us preachers do, and that's coming to an end a lot of times. Amen. We say, finally, now this will be it, and then we preach another 30 minutes. But look in Philippians 4, look in verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Dias, and I beseech Cinci, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Now let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." You can be seated this morning. Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the choir singing. It is a joy to be in your house. We thank you for the good Sunday school lesson that we had. What learning, and Lord, how you give us instruction to live. But Lord, it's preaching time, and we certainly need help now from heaven. I pray you'd guard our mind and our thoughts. I pray that you'd hinder Satan out of this meeting today, and I pray you'd move among folks' hearts. Let us see in your word what you'd have us to see today, nothing more, nothing less. But Lord, we want you to be honored in it all. Lost folk to get saved, let them move. And those that need help, that they'd find it in the Word of God. Again, I pray for help. And Lord, I pray you'd touch us today. Help us now. Say that sinner's nearest tale for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in the book of Philippians, as Paul is closing. Now notice how he addresses the church at Philippi. Twice in verse 1, he says, "Dearly beloved." I think Paul loved them. I think he really loved them. They were dearly beloved to him. And notice what he said, that they were longed for. He longed to be with them and to be around them and to be in their company. Wouldn't that be good if folk talked about our church in the very fact that, man, we like to go to their church. Because we like the service, God comes by, but those are just good people, and that to be around. They love God and they love me, and boy, they show that they love me. And Paul said that they were longed for, and not only that, he said they're my joy and crown. Boy, as he writes, I mean, he had something to rejoice in them about. He said, "You're my joy and my crown," and he encouraged them. He said, so stand fast in the Lord. Don't lose your faith in the Lord in the time that they were living. He said, don't lose your faith and stand fast and serve God. Seems like over the past 2 to 3 years that there is some has lost their faith and quit serving God. Now, I wish that they wouldn't do that. And then he instructs Judas and Cynthia, if I can say that right, and that to be of the same mind in the Lord. Seems like there might have been a little division right there between them. Don't know that, but that's just what it seems like. And he encourages them and that to be in the same mind. Don't be in disagreement, but be in the same mind in the Lord. Maybe a little struggle. And then he said this, and he said, I entreat thee also. Now notice what he said. He said, true yoke fella. He said, you're in the same yoke as I am, and you're helping to serve. And he said, you help those women that have labored with me. Thank God for good ladies that love God and are serving God to the best of their ability to please the Lord. As I've said many times over the years, many churches have been kept going and alive because of women that have remained faithful and that to God. Miss Evelyn talks about a time when it was her, another lady, and the preacher that kept this thing moving along. And I appreciate that. He said, you help those women that have labored with me. And he says, you see to them. Now, in verse 4, Paul begins to give us some sundry instruction. That word sundry means many and different, like divers. And so he begins to give us some different instructions. I'm going to deal mainly with the latter part of these. But he said, rejoice in the Lord. But then he told them that again. And again I say, rejoice. I believe the very first thing that if me and you could get today and understand of this instruction is that we're to rejoice in the Lord. We've got every reason as God's people and that to rejoice. We got every reason to be happy in the Lord. But he's encouraging them to rejoice. I want you to remember that for later. And then he says, let your moderation be known unto all men for the Lord. He said the Lord is at hand. That word moderation means, you know, in a world that we live in, folk do not restrain themselves. And that's what moderation means. It means a restrain of violent passions or of the appetite. And it means to have a calmness of mind. Can I tell you that there is not moderation in our world today? Everybody is wide open as hard as they can go. And he said, let your moderation. You don't have moderation. You have to know how to keep your body under subjection. You have to know how to rule your spirit that's inside of you. You're going to have moderation. You have to have control. You know, a lot of times we just want God to take over our life and say, God, you're going to have to help me and you're going to have to do this. Hey, let me tell you, I understand there's times that he's going to have to do some things, but he expects us to do our part. Amen. And sometimes you just got to get a hold of yourself and say, we're not going to do this or think this way. And in a world we have no moderation. And he said, here's why you do it. Because the Lord is at hand. Do you realize that when he said, let it be known unto all men? You know, in a world that has no moderation and that moves at every indulgence that they so please, that we're strange to this world. That we would have some form of moderation, that we wouldn't be like everybody else. And he says, let it be known to all men. Listen, there are things that the world, have you noticed the world just gets wound up every little thing? They're just tore. You ever been around people that it just every little thing that they just fall apart. Every little thing they get angry at, and everybody's always against them. And I mean, as one fella said, if everybody's against them, I guess they're against them. But you know, I'm just going to tell you, probably not everybody's against you. I tell you, there's folks sitting in this church that is for you today, amen, and for you to do well. But notice what he says, the Lord is at hand. Listen, if we're going to live right and do right, we need to do it now because the day of God, the day of the Lord, is at hand. But I want you to look at what he said in verse 6. And he says, be careful for nothing. And if I could preach for just a little while, I want to preach on the remedy for care. The remedy for care. And that word careful means to be full of care. Boy, that's sense. That makes sense, don't it? To be full of care or to be anxious. It means exposing to concern or anxiety or trouble. That word also means to be watchful or to Be cautious and giving good heed. But Paul ain't saying just throw caution to the wind right here and don't be careful. What he is talking about is the care and the anxiety that comes upon us in this life. And he says, be careful for nothing. You know that it's easy for me to stand up here and tell you to not worry about that. It's easy preaching, but hard practicing. But I believe that in this passage of Scripture, we can find what helps carefulness and how to not have anxiety in this day that we're living. Do you realize that everybody cares about what's going on out in the world? They have anxiety over it. Man, people's worried to death, and it's got a little better, but they've been worried to death about COVID. I believe in being smart. I do. I believe in being smart. But I don't think that it should consume our life so much that, friend, that is constantly what's on our mind and debilitates us, and that from serving God. Some people are so concerned about the news, they have it running 24 hours a day in their home. You'll go batty if you listen to the news 24 hours a day. It's all bad, friend. If all you put in your mind is bad things, all you're going to think about is bad things. Worried about what's going on at the border. I know that we need to understand what's going on. I'm not telling you to hide your head in the sand or those things. But I mean, folk are just so concerned about everything. Inflation, gas, food shortages, everything. The future, preacher. What's going to happen in the future? I don't know. But I know who's got the future. I'll never forget listening to Brother Buster Seaton preach. And this was prior to Y2K. Some of y'all remember Y2K. Some of these kids around here ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But I remember that. I remember Brother Seaton preaching. I remember him making a statement while he's preaching. He said, if God wants it to rain $10 bills out of heaven, it'll rain $10 bills out of heaven. Now, I'm hoping for $100 bills. Amen. I guess money was different back in the late 90s than what it is now. But we have too much care. And I watch God's people, and I see it in my own life, and I talk to others that care. And I'm no way, listen to me, I want you to hear me today, I'm in no way poking fun at it. Because I really think it's real, and I think people worry about things way too much. And I think I worry about things way too much. You remember when I told you before that if I don't have something to worry about, I worry about why I ain't worrying. Now, y'all think I'm kidding right there, but that's the God's honest truth. I wonder why I'm not worrying. Listen, I believe that me and you have to get a hold of these verses today because if we can get a hold of these things, it'll help us serve God today. I want you to hear me and listen to me. If you're lost today, never been saved, you need to have some concern. And you need to have some anxiety in your life. And you need to have some worry because judgment's coming. Hell fire is real, and so is the eternal lake of fire, and you need to get saved out of your sin. You need to do that. But I just don't think as saved people, we ought to be all that careful today and be all to have that. Listen, I'm telling you, it's easy preaching, but hard practicing. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Can I tell you how much the Lord loves us and cares for us? He wants to bear our care for us. He knows, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, he knows what it's like to be us. He understands the cares and the worries and the concerns that we carry, and he wants to carry it for us. As I was studying there late last night, I was looking over this message, and I come to Psalms 127 and verse 2. I want you to take your Bible there. I'm still in my introduction, by the way. Psalms 127 and verse 2. I'll get started here in a minute. But I want you to look at this. Psalms 127 verse 2. The door to my study was open, and I laughed as I read this because I'd seen this verse the way that I really believe God intended for it to be seen. And I was telling my wife, as she's sitting in there on the couch, I said, you ain't going to believe this. In verse 2, Psalms 127 verse 2, I said, it's amazing how many times you read something and God gives you a little light on it. In verse 2, he said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. All three of those are run together. What do you mean? You notice right there when he talks about it is vain to, what is it, rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Do you realize when you eat the bread of sorrows, when you're sorrowful over something, when you worry about something, when you're grieved about something, and I understand there are times to be grieved, I understand that. Do you realize that when you sorrow over something, though, you're going to give up your sleep? It's going to worry you to death. It's going to rob you to death. You remember fretting? We preached on fretting before. But that's what it does to us, don't it? It costs us our sleep. I'm glad that, friend, that I can go to bed. Now, some nights I struggle. I'm just wide awake, but I'm not sitting there worried about stuff. But you know what? There's a lot of people, they set up the nighttime and they're worried about how tomorrow's going to go. They're worried about what's going to happen in politics, and they're worried about what's going to happen with Russia, and they're worried about what's going to happen with China, and all these things. I'm still serving one that's in control today. You may have some concerns that are a little closer in that to home. I'm being kind of broad in my thinking today. You know, the Lord told Martha over there in Luke chapter 10. You remember when she wanted him to go get Mary and help her to serve. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You see what carefulness brings in our life? It brings trouble. He said, you're careful and troubled. He said in Luke chapter 21, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. He's talking about the day of the Lord. He said, but notice what it can do. All these things, he said, the cares of life can just come upon you. The worries of life. So what I want to look at is, he says, be careful for nothing. How do we do that? What is the remedy? Even when we know there's a worry out there and we are facing something that is beyond us, what is the remedy for care? What helps anxiety today? One, you need to be saved, but notice what he said. Be careful for nothing in verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. First of all, pray. But notice how we are to pray. Now this is going to be simple, okay? It's really going to be simple, but we struggle to do it sometimes. Notice how we are to pray. He said, first pray with thanksgiving. How many of us do that? Now, I'm being honest this morning. I'm asking you a question. When you pray, you do pray, don't you? You do have a time of prayer, don't you? You do get in a prayer. Our cat at the house, as long as me and my wife are in the same room, that cat's okay. But man, when we get separated, that cat freaks out. And so if I shut the door to my study and go in there to study, and sometimes it's almost like clockwork. I can get about 5 or 10 minutes, and then she's just going crazy. I told her last night, I kicked her out, I said, I got to shut my door. I got to go to the prayer closet, you know. You know, sometimes we get in the prayer closet, and I've said this before, but we fail to shut the door. We need to get along with God and get our mind focused on that, on the things of Him. But notice how he said, you start your prayer with thanksgiving. You know, when he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, our prayer time ought to open up with a time of thanksgiving and rejoicing. Don't you have a lot to be thankful for? I'm looking around at all of us today. Got so much to be thankful for. Our families, the blessings of God. Has He not been so good to us? Give us things we don't even deserve. Amen. I mean, He's been so good. You don't know what I'm... Listen, look around you, friend, and look at everything that the Heavenly Father through His Son has done for you. If you're saved, that's where you ought to start at this morning. So, Lord, I'm glad I'm not dying and going to hell. You forgave me of my sins and made me fit for heaven. That's a good reason to rejoice.
You're talking about singing 151. Praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellence. Hey, we ought to be praising Him today. Man, you're talking about changing your mind about some things when you begin to see what God's done for you. It's easy for me to look at what He's done for everybody else, but boy, we get in our pity party and our lip gets on the ground and we've got the muddy clubs and listen, and then we're worrying ourselves to death and we forget what God has done. I find myself every time I'm praying, I find myself when I go to pray, most of the time I do not open up with a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm generally telling God what I need and what's wrong, not with thanksgiving. Change your mind. I would to God, wish to God that me and you would just go to our altar sometimes and just go with a prayer of thanksgiving and say, Lord, you know what the needs are. You handle them. But I just want to thank you today and begin to praise Him. I think that would be okay. I think that'd be all right. He said, well, I didn't get to tell him about this. And he already knows. He knows. And you know what I find in here sometimes, and again, I'm not poking fun or making fun of, we'll come in and sometimes we'll have a time of testimony time, and if we are not careful, we'll begin to focus on the bad things instead of the good things. Folk will end up wanting to go back to a prayer request time instead of a testimony time. That's just, I don't know why we do that. There is a prayer request time and there is a testimony time. I think when you're telling the good things of God, you need to tell what He's done for you. You need to say, hey, Lord, I want to thank you. And I want to thank you not only personally, not only privately, but I'll do it publicly. Amen. When's the last time you ever praised the Lord publicly? Bible says in Psalms 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for you to thank God. It's a good thing for you to be at home and praying and thank God. It's a good thing to come into church and say, Lord, I want to thank you. We sung that song today, 128. I just want to thank you, Lord. Amen. Has He not been good to us? Psalms chapter 50, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Notice what He said to do before you call upon Him in the day of trouble. He said, give Him thanksgiving. A lot of times we want to call out, are you saying in the midst of trouble? Listen, I know there are times when we've just got a short time to pray and we need a short answer. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, when we come to the Lord to pray, you want to take care? Take care. You want to fix your care? Start a prayer with thanksgiving. Open it up and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Yeah, we've got problems. And Lord, you know my heart. You know the anxiety and the care and the worries that I have. But you sure have been good to me. And then just begin to thank Him. Lord, for what I've got. For my health I've got. For my family I've got. My children. My home. My church. My preacher. He loves me and preaches the truth to me. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving. When's the last time we've done it? Psalms 100 said, come into His courts. With thanksgiving, didn't it? We come in here, man, we ought to just come in and be thankful. Be thankful. I'm telling you, when you become thankful, it begins to change your mind about things. It's the last time you ever done that. When's the last time you ever spoke in testimony time and told about what God has done for you? A lot of times we do not have trouble telling Him what we need, but it seems like we have problems wanting to thank Him. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then He said, let your requests be made known. Can I tell you, He does want to hear from you. He does want to hear you. Somebody, you know, we've talked about it. And I know men have preached on it. I don't know if I've ever preached on it and talked about it. And I'm sure I have. But just bringing your burden to the altar and leaving it there.
You know, he said, cast not your care upon him, for he careth for you. And sometimes we'll leave it there till tomorrow or the next day. You know, I've heard men preach about, you know, you take it to the altar and you leave it, but as soon as you get up, you pick it up. And some people do. But others wait till tomorrow to pick it up. And they feel good today. They're trusting him today. You saying, I ain't trusting the Lord, just stay with me. I didn't say that. But trusting him and putting your faith in him goes a long way with care and anxiety. I heard one fella say one time, we were talking about it. He said, people will tell you just to think different. And he laughs and he says, well, I wish I'd have thought of that. It's easy preaching and hard practicing. But we do have to change our thinking. And the very first way we do that is with thanksgiving unto the Lord. We carry our cares unto Him. Take your Bible and go to Psalms 142. Now he talks about, while you're going to Psalms 142, he talks about to make our prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then he says, let your requests be made known unto God. He don't want you not to tell Him. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to bring your cares and your requests and your concerns. Psalms 142, I believe David is in the cave at this time. Psalms 142, look in verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. David was in a bad spot, wasn't he? I think there's been times that all of us have been in bad places and in bad spots. You know, if you're living in a cave, that's a pretty bad place to be, ain't it? He said, in the way wherein, he said, then thou knewest, verse 3, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, had they privately laid a snare for me. So there was those after him. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Well, nobody was there to help him. You ever felt that way? Felt like you was in the darkest place you could ever get, and there was no help to be had. I mean, that's not only discouragement, and that's depression, man. I mean, he's getting to a bad spot right here. He said, but look in verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He said, Lord, I'm going to put... He said, you're the only hope. You're the only life I've got. And he said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. See what he wanted to do? The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. David, in the place that he was in, he really struggled to praise the Lord right there, didn't he? Now, can I tell you, when you're worried and you're careful about things, sometimes it's hard to be thankful and it's hard to rejoice. It'll rob you of your joy if we let it. Remember, I told you, it's easy preaching, hard practice. And the devil will use every bit of that to work his way in and to steal your joy. Notice what he said, though. Come back to the text verse. He said, make your supplication with thanksgiving and let your request be made known unto God. Just tell him. David just told him. He said, Lord, I'm in a bad spot. Man, I'm in a place right here. And he said, I really don't feel like rejoicing, but if you'll get me into that place, I will. Sometimes we got to have the help of God just to be able to rejoice. We find Elijah on the run in 1 Kings 19 under the juniper tree. We know that. He goes on out in the wilderness, sits under the juniper tree, and then he falls asleep, and the angel makes that cake and got that cruise of water, and he nudges on him and says, Elijah, you're going to have to eat. He eats and goes back to sleep. He kicks him again, says, Elijah, you're going to have to wake up and eat some more. You've got to go a long way in the strength of this meat. And he went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that meat. But in that process, he ended up in a cave. And the Lord said, what doest thou here,
Elijah. And Elijah felt all alone. Is that not what he told the Lord? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord. And he said, they've tore down your altars, Lord. And he said, I'm the only one left. And he felt so alone. Listen, I'm not trying to preach to you psychology, sociology, or any of that mess. But I'm telling you, as God's people, when care grips your mind in your life, man, it'll put you in a bad spot if you'll let it. And the way to get out of that, to start to get out of it, is just to begin to thank the Lord. Begin to look around at what you do have, what God has blessed you with, what He's given you, and how He's took care of you over the years. Notice what he said in the very next verse. He said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Seems like a promise there, don't it? If we'll go to Him and praise Him and thank Him, it seems to me that if you believe the Bible, well, whether you believe the Bible or not, it's still true this morning that the peace of God will come into our heart and our life. Now remember, he's talking to saved people. If you're lost, you ain't got no peace. And I'm going to tell you, some saved people ain't got no peace either. They're careful about things. But notice he said it's that peace that passeth all understanding. That reasoning of why me and you should not have peace in our heart, or the trial should be so big that we should just be falling apart. But yet the peace of God that passeth all understanding, the joy that's in the heart, the peace that's there, that yeah, the world is falling down around us, but notice how he said that he would keep us. Notice what he said right here. Who would he do it through? He would shall keep your hearts and minds. I'll deal with that. Through Christ Jesus. Notice who we're trusting right there. The Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's through Him. See, you trusted Him for salvation. We should be trusting Him for our peace and our help. A peace that comes that allows us to rest. A peace that comes that the world looks at us and they don't understand what's going on. A peace that comes in supplication and talking to the Lord and thanking Him. Notice what He was going to do. He was going to keep our hearts and our minds. The two things that control our life is our heart and our mind. And what was it? Was it the book of Proverbs? He said, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it is the issues of life. I mean, he said that he would keep our minds and our hearts. Those the two things that we think with and that drives us and moves us and excites us or depresses us. He said, I'll keep them through Christ Jesus the Lord. Through the work of Calvary that he accomplished. And through the very fact that he's alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. And the very fact that he can do as he pleases today. Isaiah 26. He said, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How much do we trust in the Lord? As this goes out on the radio, there may be a gentleman that hears this. And a conversation that we had the other day, he just cut to the chase on some things. And he said, one of my problems is that I've never really truly learned how to trust the Lord. That old boy was just getting honest with me about some things. And he said, I've never really had to learn how to trust the Lord. You know, when everything's been good all your life and you've not really had a whole lot of problems, and then care jumps upon you and worry comes, now all of a sudden, you've got to learn how to trust the Lord. You mom and dads need to teach these young'uns around here how to trust the Lord early in life and how to put their faith in Him. I want you to understand something about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, you've put your faith in Him for eternity. He said in Hebrews chapter 13, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a good promise, ain't it?
1 Peter 1:5 said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed unto the last time. He said, we're kept. Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, we're kept. We're held up. He said in John 14, he said verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Why do we worry? He says, be careful for nothing. Now, why would he tell them that? Because he knew some of them had care. Why would he tell us in 1 Peter 5 and 7, cast not your care upon him, for he careth for you. He knew we were going to have care. I've told you about 1 Corinthians. We preached on that when Paul was come to Macedonia. Was it Wednesday night I talked about this? Where he said that, I'm preaching to you all again. Let me come over here. Where he talked about without were fightings and within were fears. That stuff will overtake you. It'll overtake me if I let it. It'll consume my mind if I let it. But only He can give us peace and help us. You say, I have prayed and prayed. Did you start with thanksgiving? Did you rejoice when you done those things? Look in verse 8. We find not only prayer, and not only praise that we're to have, but notice the preparation of our mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So what's he tell us to think on? You know, every one of them is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of them you find in this book right here. Everything that he just described right there is representation of this book. We can find pure things. We can find holy things. We can find good things. Dwell upon right things. Let your mind float over to good things. Let them float over, what did he say, that are true and honest and just and pure. Think on them things. Almost seems like Paul saying that you've got some control about what you think on. You know, again, let me come back and deal with this. If all you got on is the news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you ain't doing what verse 8 says to do. But if you'll put your eyes in front of this book right here, right? Put on some good music, some good singing, right? Huh? Have some wholesome things going on around your house. He said in Psalms 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said, Lord, let the things that I say and the things that I think on, let you be pleased with it. I go back to Isaiah 26, I quoted a few minutes ago. He said, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in him. Notice he said, put your mind on him and let it stay there. That's hard to do, ain't it? You know, I told you a long time ago, I swore off the news. I don't watch, very seldom do I watch news. I read my news and I try to construe. I don't listen to them talking heads. I don't care about anybody else's opinion. I could care less. They're people like I'm people. I can make, there was one thing that I appreciate more than one thing growing up in the house that I grew up in, my mom and dad and my sister. There was one thing that my dad taught me and my sister to do, and that was to think for ourselves. And I appreciate that. I mean, that is a rare oddity today, is that you can find somebody that knows how to think for their self. I really don't care what anybody else thinks. I'll make my own opinion and move on. But if we care about so much about what's going on out there and the worries of it, we're going to be focused on that instead of focused on serving the Lord. And I've seen that in my own life. I've seen worry and concern and care and anxiety overtake me at times, and you lose sight of what you're supposed to be doing. And that brings me to my last point. Look in verse 9. I could spend a lot of time on verse 8.
how we're to be thinking and what we're to be thinking on. Put your nose and your eyes in the Word of God. Find wholesome things to dwell on, think on. And put good things in front of your eyes and in front of your mind and in front of your heart. That'll help your care and your concern. Look in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Then our performance of our duty. He said, what you've learned, you've received, you've heard, what you've seen, however you've got it from me, he said this, go do it. Perform it. Get busy. Don't be idle. Don't be lazy. You know why some people are worried to death and concerned? All their mind, they're just idle and thinking on the wrong thing. You remember that old saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop? I had years ago when I was working a public job, I had a foreman, a plant manager, that was one of his favorite sayings. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. In other words, that means find a broom and get to pushing it. That's what it means. It's the same with our mind and with our heart. I'm not telling y'all nothing I ain't ever preached before. But if our heart and our mind gets idle, it'll wander off in places that it don't need to be. If we get idle on reading the Word of God, if we get idle in our service, if we get idle, we'll start to focus on other things. And then we'll get worried to death about what's going on. He said, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, a busy mind is a good mind. I think it is. I do. I think when we're focused on things that we need to be doing for the Lord and doing for our family and serving like we're supposed to be doing. See, all that, let me say this, and I'm going to close. All that runs together. When I talk about serving the Lord, I'm talking about serving your family and running your home. All that stuff goes together. And so right here, he said, and the God of peace shall be with you. Notice how he words that. He called him the God of peace right there. He said, boy, when we'll rejoice in our prayer, when we'll give with thanksgiving, we'll think on the right things, do what we're supposed to be doing, he said, the God of peace will be with you. Ain't that what we need today? It's just to trust him. Let's bow our heads this morning.